In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. At the heart of the spiritual life and growth in the spiritual life is the virtue of humility that our Lord addresses in our Gospel today from St. Luke. This is a difficult virtue in any age to capture and in which to grow, but even more so in the age in which we find ourselves, because the world tells us that we can be exalted, that we are the masters of our own destinies, that we are self-directed. In truth, we know that nothing could be further from the truth. The more man seeks to be control of the world, the more he seeks to supplant God from his rightful place, the more difficult the world becomes for man. And in truth, the manner in which we live today in this world can be directly related to man's rejection of God and putting himself in God's stead. But for we who are believers, we come back to the necessity and the reality of this virtue, which we must embrace in every moment of our daily lives. What is presented before us today are two responses to how men live in the world. The Pharisee, who should actually know better, steeped as he is in the things of God and the law. He stands before God with eyes raised to heaven, with haughtiness of voice and disposition, recognizes that he is not like everyone else. And in truth, the things that he lists, in all honesty, he indeed is not like everyone else, not a robber or dishonest or an adulterer, or even this publican, this tax collector, this one outside the law. Seemingly, this is what we all strive for, to live a virtuous life and in doing so be right in the sight of God. But then we ruin all of that if we somehow think of ourselves as better than others, as if, having achieved that level of holiness and sanctity, there is no more left for us to do. But nothing could be further from the truth. There's always need for, room for, opportunity to grow in holiness and to grow in virtue. But the only way that can happen is if one indeed is humble and pliable in the hands of God. And so the disposition that is needed is not the one of the Pharisee, who recognizes that while he is better than some, that makes him better than all. But instead, the publican, who doesn't even deign to lift up his eyes to God, but simply lowers his head and says, "O God, be merciful to me, the sinner." He recognizes who he is and who God is and what is needed from God in order that he can indeed be right with him. The Lord then, I'm sure, surprises those who are listening because he says that it was the publican who went home justified and the other did not. Unless we miss the point of the gospel, everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled, and he who humbles himself shall be exalted. This, brothers and sisters, is the reality for which we strive, practicing every single day that virtue of humility, which in a very practical order requires that we be willing to be humiliated, to be thought less of in the sight of men, to risk embarrassment in the sight of others, in order that in the sight of God, we might truly be justified. And again, this is not an easy task to undertake, but it is a necessary one. For if there are virtues that you are trying to achieve in your life, but have not embraced the virtue of humility, then you simply cannot achieve those virtues. If you are seeking to grow in holiness and improve some aspect of your spiritual life, but refrain from embracing the virtue of humility, you will simply not grow in holiness. This takes time. Day in and day out. It likewise takes trust and confidence that the Lord indeed will provide for us. This is real and true precisely because of the situation in which we find ourselves now. In humility, we must trust in the Lord. It is not an easy thing to do as we wait for the Archbishop to give us some understanding as to the disposition of our life here at the Oratory. And as much as we might be given into doubt, anxiety, anger, and confusion, all that truly is left to us is to trust in the Lord. And to engender that trust in our lives, we must be humble. God is in charge. God is the master of our destinies. God is the one who directs our lives. Either we believe these things and live accordingly, or we do not, and our lives oftentimes come crumbling down in sin. Because yes, we are in some ways better than most. We practice our faith. We're serious about our faith. We make the efforts to be here, to be present, to make sure that there's a correspondence between what we do here on Sunday and how we live our lives throughout the week. But then if we fail even just slightly in any other virtue in our lives and don't allow ourselves to be led by God, then no matter how much we might fulfill the outward trappings of the life of faith, inside, interiorly, we remain as dead as this Pharisee is dead before God. We don't raise our eyes to heaven. We don't stand before God and recognize all that is good about us. Instead, like the publican, we beg God for his mercy. But be mindful also that the humble man, the humble woman, recognizes not only their weaknesses, their failures, but they also recognize that the strengths that they have must be disposed of according to God's will. True and authentic humility is not just the recognition of weakness, but also giving thanks and praise to God for the blessings that he has bestowed upon you. After all, to conceive of yourself as only one fraught with peril and sin, only one beset by only weakness, with no strength, no talents, no gifts, is to somehow imply that God created you in this manner. As we hear in Paul's exhortation to the Corinthians, while there are different gifts, different talents, different ministries, all of those are held and bound together by the same Spirit. But we all have different gifts, different talents, different ministries. And in humility, we ask the Lord, what do I do with the blessings you've bestowed upon me? How do I make them manifest in the world? And then in that same humility, we listen to God and we do as he commands us to do. And so the exhortation that rests before us, as it is in each proclamation of the gospel and in each holy mass, is to strive to live out that which God sets before us. Today, for our contemplation, it is this virtue of humility. To be clear, I stand before you not as a perfect practitioner of this particular virtue. Indeed, since we have been with each other for the time with which we have been with each other, you know my faults as well as I, and oftentimes are willing to let me know what my faults actually are, lest I in some way fall into not being humble. All of us have to grow in this virtue, and it is only in this way that we can truly hope to trust and have confidence in the Lord. Because what God desires for us is not only that we live rightly with him in this life, that we also enjoy the fruits of everlasting life. But that begins now, today, in this precise moment. It is, after all, our deepest desire to be justified in the Lord's sight. And in order for that to happen, we have to pay heed to the words of our Lord, not exalting ourselves, but instead humbling ourselves, in order that God might be the one who exalts us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.